2-1 to Christian Campbell, the pitch. Swinging a ground ball on the left side. It is off the glove of the third baseman into left field. Story had to hold. He's over to third. Campbell has his first big league hit, and the Red Sox have him at the corners with one out in the ninth.
Jones and Keefe live at Polar Park here on WEEI for the WooSox opener. We're going to be joined momentarily by Red Sox top prospect Marcelo Meyer. Get some thoughts on, well, his spring, his future in the big leagues, what makes him tick. And also Christian Campbell, his debut yesterday.
That's right.
A nice debut for Christian Campbell, even a little shaky defensively, but gets his first hit. You could tell he was very nervous.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't you be?
We got his family on the broadcast yesterday getting interviewed. His younger brother, they said 15 million times, is apparently a player as well.
Yeah.
And so a nice day for Christian Campbell and the Boston Red Sox in their opener.
Yeah, it was. You know, Garrett Crochet was, I think they got at the top of my list of who to watch, but they had a long list. Like, you wanted to see Christian Campbell. You wanted to see Alex Bregman. You wanted to see how Rafael Devers is going to adjust to being a DH. So there's a lot of things on there. But Garrett Crochet really didn't have his best stuff. Kind of grinded a little bit, you know, didn't hit the over on the strikeouts that we were monitoring, got the pitch count up early, but still made it through five. And then, you know, two things that we really weren't relying on, Willier Abreu and the bullpen is what won him the game yesterday against a team that's pretty good, a team that you could face, you know, 6 months from now in the playoffs.
So as we found out earlier today, Rich Keefe, you applied to the Toronto Raptors.
Just missed.
You're trying to skip over the entire inner workings of the minor leagues and all these
Maybe they
things.
Would have screwed up, and at 22 I would have gotten like an NBA job.
So not to put everybody on the spot, we do have the WooSox lineup.
Lineup is out?
The lineup is indeed out.
It sure is.
Nick, I don't know if you want to get that Bulls music going like the Severance. The Severance finale the other day. But if you want to go through and give us the WooSox
lineup. This is a pretty good lineup. Yeah. Leading off and in left field, number 19, Roman Anthony.
Nice, good leadoff hitter.
Batting second, the third baseman, number 49, Nick Sogard.
Most of bats for the Red Sox in spring training.
Batting third, the shortstop, number 39, and soon to be guest of Jones and Keefe, Marcelo Meyer.
Friend of the show, and it's Meyer, yes.
Batting cleanup. I'm not done, Nick. Batting cleanup. In right field, wearing number 24, the brother of Clay Thompson, Trace Thompson.
I don't know if he likes to be referred to as his brother.
Just tell him the audience.
Yeah.
Just making sure they know. I know he knows. Batting fifth at second base, wearing number 12 in honor of Tom Brady, Vaughn Grissom.
Not the best return for Grissom.
Traded straight up for the NL Cy Young Award winner last year. That's all right. Your catcher was a part of the infield, number 35, Blake Sable.
Not to be confused with Blake Swihart.
Batting seventh at the other hot corner, wearing number 31, Abraham Toro.
His name has come up a shocking amount on this show.
Abraham Toro?
Abraham Toro,
it has
yeah.
been brought up.
Yeah.
Batting eighth, your designated hitter, wearing number 33 in honor of Larry Bird, Nathan Hickey.
Nice.
And batting second leadoff, the center fielder, number 18, Nate Eaton.
Also nice.
On the mound,
there you
number
go.
62, Robert Stock. Oh, yeah, I didn't see that.
There yeah, you there you go.
Take it on the Syracuse Mets.
What a lineup. Bravo, Keith, nice work.
You like
job.
That?
Yeah, good job.
Here's Who your sucks? Mets lineup leading off. No.
Wait, do you have the Mets?
Yeah, the Mets are on the back.
Oh, the Mets are on the back.
Syracuse Mets.
What a production they have here for the WooSox.
Your umpires. We got all the info.
Yeah, they'll get
the very exciting thing to me, not to go too selfish here, but the buffet opens at 2.
We're all very
so
excited
I'm going to be taillights at 2 o'clock from this room. It's right behind us.
We all are very excited about that. Well, I'm curious with Marcelo Meyer, as you said, batting third, Roman Anthony batting first. That is a proprietary information, breaking news here on Jones and Keefe. I am curious when both those guys are up there with Christian Campbell on this team.
Yeah.
They don't need to rush it, obviously.
No.
But I don't know. If you ask me when are these guys on the team over under the All-Star break, I think they're both up here by then.
I would think so, too. Now, there's a couple of different ways to go, and injury is the easy, obvious one. Let's say somehow, some way, yesterday's lineup, the guys that were in yesterday's lineup for the big club, remain healthy for the first 3 months. Where's the avenue then? How do you crack into the majors? Because if Bregman and Story are healthy, they would have to be like 0 for the month to not play. Like, those two guys are just, like, locked in. I think the better chance would be either Willier Abreu, who socked two ding-dongs yesterday and was a part of all five runs scored, or maybe Sadon Rafaela really struggles, and that might be the path for Anthony. For Marcelo Meyer, I don't know. I wonder, you know, is it definitely
outside,
shortstop? Is it third base?
Injury,
is it second base? Like, he is blocked a little bit there, which is a classic good problem to have for, like, the organization. But if you're like, we got this guy's one of the best prospects in baseball, killing it in the minors, like, how long can you leave him there? You know, your DH is now full with, like, an everyday DH who deserves to be, or is, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like you have, well, we have a flexibility there. He already played. I'm looking forward to asking him about his second base start,
like,
during
cameo.
Spring, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, you're playing the left side. He looks like he's a shortstop prospect, but sure, you want a little flexibility, play a little bit of third. Okay. But then second base, you're like, so is that even a possibility for him? Because Campbell, we know, could probably play a couple of spots if needed. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think barring, you know, if everybody's healthy, which is never the case, by the way. I was just tossing it out there for a hypothetical. But if everybody is healthy, these guys, get your tickets to the Worcester games is what I would say.
No, like, I mean,
they might be playing there for a little bit longer.
You said it. Like, the real way it happens is Trevor Story hurts.
Yeah.
He's already hurt. I mean, Bradford told us yesterday, and not that you noticed it watching him in the game yesterday where he's out there getting on base, stealing a base, but you already saw it. He's already has back soreness, and we're one game in. And so how would he get to the bigs? I mean, that's the easiest way, but could these guys get to the big leagues on merit? I think so. And I think Anthony has the much clearer path. You just laid it out, whether it is Abreu, who had a great day yesterday, but we see hot starts all the time out of players, not to write them off. And then you also could see it for Sadon Rafaela, as you laid out, never mind injuries. So I'd expect all these guys to be up this year. And that is something exciting for this team. It's part of the reason we're at Polar Park here today, because fans are excited about it.
Yeah.
You can discuss it all day long here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. While we await Marcelo Meyer, Stephon Diggs is scheduled to talk today at 2:15.
Yeah. But they didn't say
Good point.
This is like a weird little wrinkle.
It's a free agent, but Mike Reese made his bad pun yesterday on social media. He's going to try to dig up who it could be.
Good stuff, yep.
And so, I don't know, I find this to be a whole interesting twist and turn of the Patriots free agency. Like, they announced all four of those guys with Robert Kraft, with Elliott Wolf, with Mike Vrabel. I mean, is Stephon Diggs just going to be sitting there at a table by himself, or are they going to do the whole pomp and circumstance again? Like, what's that going to look like today?
They didn't do one yet for Garrett Bradbury, right? The last time we saw this,
are they going to do one for Garrett?
I don't think so. I'm just saying. But the first one was, correct me if I'm wrong, the jersey presentation was Robert Spillane, Morgan Moses, Milton Williams, Carlton Davis.
Yeah, correct.
And then they kept referencing how Harold Landry was there, but he's on vacation.
Yeah.
So those aren't the only free agents they've signed this whole time.
No.
Those are some of the bigger contracts that they've obviously given out. But I would assume it's just Steph Diggs, but there were a couple of other guys in between that.
I'm sorry, but when you say just Steph Diggs, you mean no Vrabel, no Kraft?
No. I think they would do that again.
So that's what I think, too.
Yeah.
And that, to me, would be – I thought it was odd enough the first time. If Kraft's out there, like, handing him a jersey and, like, patting himself on the back again.
He doesn't need to be. This really should just be Vrabel and Diggs, unless you want to do the hey, we're still pretending Elliott Wolf had some say.
Oh, they clearly want to do that.
I think after we got off the air yesterday, Steph Diggs on his Instagram story just posted a photo of Mike Vrabel as a player with the Patriots.
I didn't see it. You were telling me about
that. So, and a lot of players, going back to that original press conference, didn't it seem like the number one recruiting pitch, aside from money, so the number two recruiting pitch, I guess, besides money, Vrabel. Like, all these guys are like, yeah, you want to play for Vrabel. So I'm like, he's clearly picking the guys he wants, and he's getting the ones that he's gotten because of who he is, it sounds like.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've been able to bring guys in. I'm done giving credit or blame to Elliott Wolf. I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I think we learned enough in free agency to say it's Mike Vrabel's show. He's running point on all this. So if they don't have a left tackle and I don't like the situation, that's on Vrabel. If they draft Travis Hunter, credit to Vrabel. When they sign Steph Diggs, credit to Vrabel, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that's ultimately
how
I feel about it.
blame Wolf.
No, I mean, I know there's a lot of people who want to do that.
No, at this point, there's way too many signings that are clearly the fingerprints of Vrabel, even leaning on Terrell Williams or Josh McDaniels, than they would be Elliott Wolf. Very early on, they re-signed Austin Hooper, and you're like, okay.
Yeah,
and then
like,
it was like,
no.
And then it was like all guys that played for Vrabel or at least have some sort of connection to the coaching staff.
Yeah, so, you know, I just wonder what today looks like. Because and this is going to be on after we're on. We won't carry this one live like we did with the last one. But
we won't. I wonder afternoon.
Oh,
tonight.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
I think WEEI will carry it live. Jones and Keefe won't. So I just mean when we threw to that press conference on our show, I was stunned that it was Kraft talking first. Like, I just heard a voice, and I'm like, I had no idea that Robert Kraft was even going to be there. Never mind leading the charge to pat himself for spending money for the first time in the last 3 years. Pat himself on the back for the first time in 3 years.
He might.
And
this is a pretty surprising signing, what, so he might want to take credit for it.
If he is, how would that make you feel? They're desperate for credit or adulation or whatever. Like, it would look even more thirsty and desperate than the last
it
one.
It would, but just would that be the most shocking thing in the world? Of course
no.
not. Of course
no.
not. But yeah, it'd be like it would feel unnecessary, but I guess it wouldn't surprise me.
No, okay. So that's today at 2:15. You're right, Keith. I'm assuming that'll be carried on
probably.
WEEI afternoons. What I meant specifically is we'll be off the air for that, but I'll be listening to it either way. And I'm just curious to see how the Patriots handled it. Maybe this is business going forward. Maybe it's just when Bill was here, Bill never wanted to do it. Now they didn't sign anybody when it was Mayo and Wolf last year. They're just bringing back their own guys. No introduction necessary.
These are kind of weird because of the like. It's not true, but when people are always like, all the players are equal, they're not. They're not. Like, if you traded for, hypothetically, A.J. Brown, you should do a big to-do, right? Like, when the Celtics brought in Garnett and Allen, you do a big to-do. You shouldn't do it for everybody, though.
No.
I really don't.
And like, Robert Spillane, no.
We even looked. We were like, there's not a Pro Bowl appearance.
Morgan Moses,
there wasn't
no.
a Pro Bowl appearance in the group.
No, I'm with you. Diggs is closer
to that, but, like, you already
it.
Did it. Like,
right.
you just did it. So it would have made more sense if they waited, and then they signed Diggs, and Diggs was a part of it with those guys. You could be like, okay, you know, you don't want to leave anybody out then, I guess, because there's a little bit more reason to do it. But, yeah, it is a weird thing, like, and it wasn't something that Bill Belichick was clearly a fan of.
You know,
the Celtics have done it a few times in the past, but on, like, wide ranges, right? Like, opposite ends of the spectrum. They did it once where it was, like, three Hall of Famers. They did it once where it was, like, four guys barely in the league. So, I don't know. You got to pick and choose when you do it.
So, Boston is not exactly, you know, the hard edge media used to be when it comes to beat reporters with the Bruins, for sure.
Oh, my God, no.
Among other teams. So maybe I don't want to overstate this too much, but, I mean, Diggs has played in Buffalo and Minnesota and Houston. Like, I just wonder if I wonder what he's going to face today in terms of questions about health. I'm sure he's ready for.
Yeah.
What about kind of burning through teams and being a me first receiver, and like, I wonder if he's ready for that and how he handle it if he even gets posed with it. He should get posed with that today.
Yeah, I think so. I also wonder, just like with football, like they get so much more like national media and like when big stories. He's been on good teams, so I feel like the attention is always there, and you probably don't go too long without getting asked something tough. I think it'll still be.
That's fair, right?
You know,
football,
like,
football's different, yeah.
Football, it doesn't matter what market you're in, like they'll find you. If you're a storyline, and he has been many times, like they'll come to him. My guess is it's going to be very honeymoon period today, tomorrow, training camp, maybe even part of the first season, which is all I'm looking for. Like, I'm not going into this being like, he's going to be sick for 3 years. Like, no, I think for 1 year, I think he's going to be good.
I hope he's out there all 17 weeks this year.
And that's it.
I'd be happy with just that. If he played 1 year and was healthy the whole year, I'd be happy with that, and we cross the bridge once we
get there. But also, like, there's more and more guys that play for three or four teams now, isn't it? Like, before, you might say, like, oh, that's kind of like, oh, look at that, you're bouncing around the league. It's like, a lot of guys kind of do. Even, like, good players will go from one team to the other because team feels like, well, now you're kind of pricing out for what we think is going on.
Well,
like, clearly he was good in Minnesota, but they didn't want to pay him. And then he got really good in Buffalo and got a lot more money. And then it kind of went down, but they burned hot for a while.
Well, in fairness, the guy that I've been wanting – and I was going to segue into this anyway. Like, do you think they're done, and who else could they go after? Like, Amari Cooper's a name we've talked about a lot. I think he's going to be on his fourth or fifth team. So it's not like a guy who hasn't burned through quarterbacks and teams.
Yeah, what, Raiders, Cowboys, Browns? At least.
Bills.
Oh, and Bills.
And now a new team in theory. So that'd be five teams.
Yeah.
You know, Keenan Allen would be on three teams in 3 years, although he's with the Chargers forever.
Yeah.
Now he'd be entering that phase. Tyler Lockett was only a Seahawk, so he's in a bit of a different group. But I don't know. I've been wanting them to bring in these other guys. I don't know that Keenan Allen or even Amari Cooper have the history that Steph Diggs does of saying, I need my targets, I need to be the guy. But
I would take any of those guys.
Me too.
And at this point, because before when I was
– put them in order. Cooper, Allen, Lockett, if they were going to sign those three. I think I just did. I think that's my
order. Allen, Cooper, Lockett.
Allen, Cooper, Lockett.
Allen, Cooper, Lockett. Allen, Lockett, Cooper. Allen, Lockett, Cooper.
I would go Allen, Cooper, Cooper, I would go Cooper, Allen, Lockett.
So – but I think – because when we were asking about those guys before Steph Diggs – it was almost implied like that was going to be the number one, which I really didn't like at all. Because Steph Diggs, maybe not even a number true number one. He's the Patriots number one, but he might not be a true number one.
Right.
And then when you look into that other list of guys, like if you're relying on this stage Amari Cooper to lift the play of everybody else in that room, plus Drake May, that's too much. But if you're now bringing Amari Cooper in as the two with Diggs, and he gets a whole offseason to work with Drake May.
And then maybe it's Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Maybe it's this and
okay.
that.
Okay. Oh. Like, now we're cooking with gas, because I don't look at the receiver room like, oh, you don't want to bring in too many because they might block somebody. Like, no. Block all those guys if you can. Like, none of those guys should be guaranteed a spot.
Right. Real quick, and it's Jones and Keefe live at Polar Park. Marcelo Meyer, Red Sox top prospect, going to join us shortly here for the Woo Sox opener. We're in Worcester, taking all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We've mostly been discussing Red Sox opening day, their win yesterday. Crochet was okay. Devers was bad. We like more what we saw out of Campbell and the bullpen, and of course, Willier Abreu. Nice opening win for the Red Sox. But since we mentioned Travis Hunter, Matt Miller had a mock draft yesterday, Keith.
Ooh, mock draft Thursday?
Tell me how you feel. Yeah, I should have sat on this till Monday. You're right.
Doing?
Yeah, shame on me. But he put one out yesterday, and we're reading it on a Friday. He says, it's not unrealistic that Travis Hunter could be Odell Beckham Jr. on offense.
Okay.
Now, what year Odell Beckham might be
important? Rookie year Odell?
Odell Beckham Jr. on offense and Denzel Ward on defense.
Oh, my God.
He says New England's coaching staff would have fun discussing ways to get him involved. So, Matt Miller's like a nerdy draft prospect guy.
Fine.
But if that's how people are talking about him, the contribution he can make, he's Odell on offense and he's Denzel Ward on defense. And now you have a couple of veterans like Diggs and Amari Cooper, and you can kind of pick and choose your spots. I mean, that's the home run pick you're hoping for.
I mean, Denzel Ward was the fourth overall pick just as a corner.
Correct.
And Elliott Wolf was on that staff with the Browns that took Denzel Ward, I believe.
I think that's right.
And Odell Beckham was a first-round pick and was awesome for a few years. Then, obviously, injuries set in and whatever. But if you really think he's that good, that is different than the praise that the Patriots had out there the other day about we think he's the best receiver and the best corner in this draft. Because then you kind of look into it and you're like, how good's this draft?
Right.
Like, what do you think of the receivers? What do you think of the corners? And so that sounds like a huge compliment, but you don't really know what they mean. Whereas if you say he's Odell Beckham and Denzel Ward,
there's no debating whether or not that's a
compliment.
Unless we're talking about, you know, Odell Beckham with the Ravens or something like that.
So we know what you mean. But that's the kind of guy, if you truly think that, then you should trade up for him. Like, you shouldn't let anybody else get him. If he's that good at both, like, I'm really high on him, but, like, I don't know. People, I think, now are kind of forget how good Odell Beckham actually was.
Early career Odell Beckham was legit.
Because it's been so long.
Even Cleveland Odell, I don't think, was that bad.
He was
a pain in the ass.
He was miserable. Right. And he actually was good with the Rams for a little bit, helping win that Super Bowl until he got hurt in the game. But anyway, I just think if you're getting – because he was a true number one receiver. He was like a top five receiver in the NFL. And then Denzel Ward was a really good corner. So if that's the
thing. Yeah, you're talking guys who were pro bowlers at both spots.
Yeah, like, okay, then you got to run up to the podium to take him.
So do you have any thoughts based on – well, the moves the Giants have made, we've talked our way through that a little bit with Russ Wilson and Jameis Winston.
I think they're still in the market for a quarterback.
You continue to see the Browns linked to quarterbacks. Maybe not so accurate reports out of Cleveland with Dak Prescott.
Oh, yeah, Dak.
And then you also hear Kirk Cousins a little bit as well.
Like Joe Milton, we heard that one for a little bit. That might have just been hope.
If the Browns got Kirk Cousins, that would shake me. I'm not shaken by the Giants.
No, but so Kirk Cousins, even last year, a team drafted a rookie quarterback when we thought he was good. Then you saw him play a season where he's not that good, obviously a year older. So I could see any of those teams still getting a quarterback.
617-779-7937. Keith, I'm being informed.
Uh-oh. Update.
That Marcelo Meyer is doing defensive drills.
Is that him out there now?
I don't know. We're going to have to get your roster up there. Marcelo Meyer is doing defensive drills. Then he's going to hit. We're going to get him now after batting practice at 12:30.
12:30.
That's a long tease.
So, no, but stay with us.
Yeah,
we're going to have really good stuff between now and then. And then the stuff's only going to get better once he joins us.
So go nowhere.
Yeah, please.
It will not be 11:10. It will, in fact, be 12:30, as I'm being told.
Noon 30.
Marcelo Meyer shortly after high noon.
It just builds the anticipation. I'm actually in favor of this.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like this.
Well, yeah, scribble out a few extra questions. I feel like we have a carte blanche.
I actually was texted a question by a Red Sox beat writer.
Oh, you were?
To ask him.
Excellent.
But it actually, to be fair, it's a question that is like kind of up my alley. Spoiler alert, it's not about baseball.
Is it the one we got on Twitter about food?
Not exactly in my Q zone like a food question. No, I don't know. It's not a food question. But it is something that I think you'll find entertaining.
Okay. Apologies. It's going to be 12:30 with Red Sox top prospect Marcelo Meyer. We're being told 617-779-7937. You can jump in on Jones and Keefe here on WEEI live from Polar Park in Worcester for the WooSox opener. Still taking calls on the Red Sox opener last night, a 5-2 win over the Texas Rangers. It is a Friday, which means you have a four-pack of questions for you. Our Friday four-pack.
What's in today's Friday four-pack?
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We are live at Polar Park. Woo Sox opener. Marcelo Meyer has been moved to 12:30. It's busy here. You got defensive drills you got to do. You got batting practice you got to take. I'd imagine, you know, cardio, yoga, lifting. Pre-game meal.
Yeah, nobody's out there
tanning
shirtless.
No.
Like you'd have with the Red Club.
There is none of that. So Marcelo Meyer already working on a big league routine leading up to the opener here today. He's going to join us at 12:30, which still means he'll be here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. We can circle back to some Red Sox thoughts as well. Plus, you can submit all your questions. I meant to say this.
Mm-hmm.
For Marcelo Meyer. Already a couple of these, Keefe. These are good. You got to ask what he ate for breakfast. Dice says, do not. This is more of a don't.
Oh, a don't? Well, that can be helpful, too.
Don't let Keith ask Meyer about his favorite superhero. Because that went poorly.
I don't want him to turn into
Harris,
Matt Schaub.
Right?
Yeah, no, Matt Schaub had nobody to.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Damian Harris, don't ask about his teammates either. I'll add that one. Yeah, Matt Schaub didn't want to know about.
I think he asked about the superheroes. Ridiculous question is what Damian Harris told me.
So anyway,
the track record's spotty.
Yeah.
At times talking to some of these guys.
Yeah,
we'll see how today goes.
What are you gonna do?
I think it'll be great.
That's at 12:30. Jackie Bradley Jr. allegedly going to join the show as well. At
your one guy,
day, which that could be interesting.
This is years in the making, really.
So we'll do that coming up as well. Plus, we have our second semifinal matchup. It is a basketball team versus a hockey team in the other semifinal for the Final Four Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. That's up at Jones and Keefe. You can vote on Twitter, and you can see the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter. We'll announce the winner early next week, as we're already almost done our March Madness uniform bracket. But it is a Friday, which means you have a four-pack of questions. What's first up today, Billy?
First up, guess Steph Diggs' stats for the season.
All right, I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to play every game.
I don't.
And you don't?
Well, keep going.
Okay. I think it's going to be 83 catches.
Okay.
For 1,018 yards and 5 touchdowns. I think he's going to be pretty damn good.
That's really. Say that again. 83 for 1,000 what and 5 touchdowns?
1,018 receiving yards.
Nice.
I don't know if that's what I said the first time.
I'm more of a round number guy. I like that you're putting a little variance.
Oh, guess the stats. Yeah, I'm not rounding here. I'm giving you the exact stats. Steph Diggs is going to have 83 catches for 1,018 yards, 5 touchdowns.
Okay.
Like that.
That's nice.
That's it. You don't want anything else? Have anything.
Well, I was going to go with rounder numbers.
He's going to have one carry for 7 yards.
And one end around pass.
All right, if you want to boil it down, I think he's a 1,000-yard guy. I think he cracked
80,005.
Yep.
Ish.
Yep.
80,1105. Yeah, I'm
not
going
1,100.
I'm going 12 games.
12 games.
I'm going to add some variance. 63 catches. I was going to say 60 catches, Keith.
I thought you were going to say 69.
But no, not that high.
You missed an opportunity.
I did. You're right. Put me down for 632 receiving.
632?
I do think I'm going to go higher than you on touchdowns, though. I was going to say six. I was really going to go 60 catches, 600 yards, six touchdowns.
666.
Exactly.
Sign of the beast.
It's exactly what it is. I don't think he's going to play enough. When he plays, he's productive. 12 games, 60 catches, five catches a game. He's good for about 10 yards a catch. I mean, that's what he was last year in Houston before his injury. I can't imagine it's going to be better here in a worse offense.
Yeah.
And coming off an ACL, I do think in the red zone they're going to use him, so that's why I went higher on touchdowns.
All right.
I'm not overly bullish, but in 12 games, that's a productive player.
If he has 666 receiving yards, give or take what you said, is that the most on the team? Or is there at least somebody higher than that?
That's probably the most on the team.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, that would if that's what he is, there's probably like three guys around there.
Yeah, and I think there's potential for that.
Like,
if Travis Hunter is your pick at four, we were just discussing him. Do you think he's going to be a 1,000-yard guy? Like, hell no.
Hunter? No. Like, not his first year.
Like, I would be happy with, like, 400 or 500 yards if he's playing both sides of the ball. If he's a full-time receiver, hell no. But if he's playing both sides of the ball, I'd be happy with, like, 400 or 500 yards, and then maybe another guy leads the team for the first month.
So basically what it comes down to is I think he's going to play all season, and you're saying
if he does 17 games, our numbers would be pretty similar.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a fair way of looking at it. Okay, those are our numbers for Steph Diggs. What else you got, Billy?
Who has the worst contract in Boston?
I mean, isn't it Swayman?
So that's my first thought, although they don't even want to play Masataka Yoshida. He makes $18.6 million.
Right.
Now, you can argue the sports.
Yeah, exactly. Swayman's contract just hurts so much more than Yoshida's contract.
But Yoshida's getting paid. He's going to get paid possibly for three more seasons at close to $19 million per. And even if you're grading it on a scale, meaning like, are there guys on the team that make $30 and $40 million, but you can't even use them. I'm just making the argument for him. I think the answer is Swayman as well because of the hard cap league that is hockey. You just gave him the deal, and he's having a horrible year. So he would be the guy. I don't think there's anybody on the Celtics, honestly.
So I was going to ask you, what's the worst contract on the Celtics?
Porzingis?
I might say it's him or Holiday. I would probably lean Holiday just because of his age.
Yeah.
I get why they paid him.
I like both guys.
I don't think they have a quote-unquote like awful contract, but the worst contract is probably Holiday.
Probably Holiday. And then the Patriots, because we kind of laugh at what the real money and fake money is anyway. It's hard to get too bent out of shape about
what's their worst contract?
You know, because there were some.
Tobias.
It's just Tobias.
Yeah.
What does he make? I don't know.
Who cares?
Whatever that is.
Get him off the team.
No, because there are guys like that would, if you're so worried about just the number for some reason in football still, you saw Milton Williams and Steph Diggs, and you're like, oh my God, those guys are overpaid. But it's like, they're not going to get all of that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't look at those as bad contracts.
No, me either. Swayman and Yoshida probably are the top two.
Yeah. I will say Swayman.
I mean, are we sleeping on Zadorov?
Oh,
that's a terrible cut.
We are. We're fast
Lindholm?
Asleep. We are fast asleep.
I mean, the Bruins might have the three worst.
No, that's true. There were a time where the Red Sox had the three or four worst, right? If you want to go back to like the Crawford days and like Pablo days and Chris Sale and like all these, they've had a lot of bad ones. Yeah, they might all be on the Bruins now. Good point.
Okay. Those are the worst contracts in Boston sports. I would lean. So I give Swayman. I cut him a lot of slack. But right now, who's been the worst production for their contract? I think that's the answer.
Yep.
Like at least when Yoshida plays, he's somewhat productive. And the Red Sox, it's just a different impact in the sport of baseball versus a hard cap league like hockey. All right, Billy. What's our next question?
Who is the best college basketball player you ever saw?
Okay, so I'm assuming this means I have to see him in person, right? This is just watch them with my own eyeballs on TV.
Yeah, TV. Okay. Yeah. So basically, like, you know, because some people would be like a Patrick Ewing, but like for you and I, or like, you know, Luol Cinder.
In
or
person, like Jeff Teague. No. let's see.
I have two that jump to mind. One's an obvious one. One maybe less obvious, but I just remember thinking
obvious one, Durant?
No, the obvious one's Carmelo.
Okay, Melo was great.
Won the title.
Yep.
Dominant. Like, he was like really good. Yeah, Durant's a great one. No, one that gets kind of forgotten because of his NBA career was cut short, and I hate Duke, and I never liked this player.
Trajan Langdon?
Jay Williams.
Oh, Jay Williams was a great.
Jason Williams was insane.
No,
I remember, like, was it 01 or 02 being like, this guy's not fair? Like, because I was rooting against Duke in every single game, and he was incredible. Now,
and you know what he'd be better in? Like, today's sport.
Today's
like, he was early threes. I mean, at least my recollection. I guess I have to look at the numbers.
But
that guy would bomb away on threes.
He was tough as
nails. That's a great one.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Trajan Langdon, whose NBA career also cut short.
He was good, but like, no, Jay Williams was dominant. I think he was probably
National Player of the Year. And won the national
title. So the first one that jumped into my head was Durant.
Yeah, good one.
Melo and Jay Williams are two great ones. Best local, not to throw you a curveball, best local college player. You
Troy Bell.
Ooh, Troy Bell's a good one.
Troy Bell was sick.
I liked God Sham God. I don't know that he was as – he certainly wasn't as good of a college player or even NBA player.
Well, if you open it up to, like, UConn, like, Ray Allen was ridiculous. Ben Gordon – I feel like Ben Gordon had a run where I'm like, I don't think I ever saw him miss a shot.
Yeah.
I think every shot he made. Emeka Okafor was really good. Marcus Camby.
Taylor Coppenrath.
Actually, if you're going local, I might go Camby.
Yeah, Camby. Probably is Camby. That's a good call.
Camby dominated Tim Duncan when they went head-to-head.
Now, it's Camby. You're right. Yeah. It's Camby.
Okay.
Carmelo Trevia. No. the Twitch chat must be shouting Monty Mack right now. Mm-hmm. It's not Monty Mack. Mm-hmm. What's our last question in the Friday 4-pack, Billy?
What is your first thought when you hear Worcester?
Be kind, Jones. We are in Worcester right now.
Nick?
You think Nick. So, again, I was born here, so I'm a little biased. I would say this is the place of my birth.
I forgot you were born. You said that the other day. I forgot you were born here.
Yeah, I was born here.
Back to your roots.
That's my first thing. However, the thing I think of first, even before me being born here.
Is it the weird statue?
No, it's Tollbooth Willie in Adam Sandler's sketch where he's going, "Welcome to Worcester, $1.25, please." The first thing I think of every time. Every time I see the sign when I drive through here, because when we go to upstate New York to visit my wife's family, we always drive right through Worcester, and it's always, "Welcome to Worcester.
Welcome to Worcester." Yeah, maybe that weird statue.
Okay.
Like where the turtle and the kids get, looks kind of a little questionable.
It. Sure does. You don't think like Holy Cross, Tommy Heinsohn, Bob Cousy?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
No, I don't. I guess the weird statue. Again, and Nick,
weird statue. And I mean, now it's going to be the Woosox.
Your birthplace. Yeah, no, yeah. I think now you can safely say Marcelo Meyer.
Sneaky big college town.
Roman Anthony.
College towns.
Nick Sogard. Robert Stock.
Von Grissom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Is it a sneaky big college town?
Well, there's a lot of colleges.
Are there?
Yeah.
What?
There's Worcester, like Poly, Tech.
Are there?
Yeah, Assumption. WPI. My mom went to Anna Maria, so that's another Worcester one. Hmm. Worcester State. Nick, you must know there must be a few more.
I think there's like 8 or 9 of them, but yeah.
Yeah, there is. Like legitimately a bunch.
Really is a mini Boston.
It kind of is in many ways.
And I do like, again, I said this earlier in the show, but right there on the pronunciation, it is Worcester.
That's good because I'm sure there are people coming in like
they're like,
from
what
Syracuse.
The hell?
Worcester Red Sox.
Exactly.
Yeah. No.
Exactly.
Don't do that.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's our Friday 4-pack each and every Friday here on Jones and Keefe live today at Polar Park in Worcester, home of Assumption, Tollbooth Willie. The birthplace of Rich Keefe. You can jump in here. 617-779-7937. We'll get back into your feedback, and we'll update the Jones and Keefe bracket. One semifinal in the Final Four is done. Second semifinal is live at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. You can see the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter. Go vote there. We'll update the results, and we'll give you today's matchup coming up next. It's Jones and Keefe here live from Polar Park in Worcester. WooSox opener comes your way this afternoon. Red Sox had their opener last night in Texas. Game 2 tonight at 8 o'clock. Pregame starts shortly after 7 here on your Red Sox flagship station, WEEI. It's time now to update the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket.
Ah, we're getting down to it.
One matchup has gone final, and we have a team ready or a step away, anyway,
okay,
from cutting down the nets. I don't want to crown them too soon, although I think I know where this is going.
Interesting.
The winner of the football region, the Patriots, in their Pat Patriot uniforms, took down the Red Sox, winner of the baseball region, and their home white uniform, 72%.
Whoa, bloodbath.
To 28%. It was a bloodbath, Keith, and it was on most of the voting anyway. I know it wrapped up this morning.
Yeah.
Most of the voting took place on opening day, no less.
Like that, I know, and you got to see those uniforms.
That was your day.
Excited about the Red Sox, and still, well, it just proved my point all along that the baseball uniform, sadly, just can't hold a candle to any of the other three sports. Like, because this is the best of the best. We found the 16 best of each sport, put them in a bracket together, and yeah, a lot of the home teams won. Then when you see a head-to-head like this, two home teams, right? Oh, I thought this was your favorite team? No, no, no. Best uniform. And Pat Patriot destroyed Red Sox.
Yeah, which they should have. Like,
Definitely better.
Pat Patriot is the one I have the problem with, the least problem with of all the local teams making a deep run.
All right, rank the four that
are left.
Rank the four from Boston first.
Okay, Pat Patriot.
Clearly,
I mean, of the four uniforms we're going with, the Pat Patriot is the best out of their current uniforms. I guess I'd have to think differently. Number two is
probably Bruins. Black and gold? I'm thinking more color scheme.
I was going to say Celtics.
Yeah, I like green.
But okay, but it would go Celtics, pretty, Bruins, and then Red Sox last, whatever it is.
They're all pretty basic.
Yeah.
And so what separates it is the helmet, to me, is pretty sweet. But yeah, we screwed up. You know, we shouldn't have done this. We shouldn't have put this in your hands where you were just going to vote for the local team.
Well, that's on us. I mean, there's
although the Bruins did get bounced by the Ducks, which is the strangest thing in all of this. So, like, if
well,
the...
I like to think we all think of, you know, Goldberg and Julie the Cat Gaffney and Adam Banks is kind of our friends. So they're kind of
that's what it is.
They're kind of a local team.
Bash Brothers,
yeah. Keenan Thompson and the Knuckle Puck. Yeah. I think we kind of think of all of them.
What about the kid that would lasso the players? Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
You're not allowed to have rope on the ice.
That was D2, of course, you're thinking of. I was thinking of...
He's like a cowboy.
Yeah. He really looked out for Connie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a thing for Connie.
Like, leave your props in the locker room, all right? It's not the place.
Maybe that's part of the reason why the Bruins got taken down.
But that threw me for a loop. I was like, all right, so maybe people will vote just on uniform because the Bruins lost to the Ducks. But then the next time out, so Hartford is also sort of like a...
They're pseudo-local.
Yeah, right.
But I'll allow for it. Like, when you were going through all the UConn local players earlier, I'm like, no, that doesn't count. So I don't think this team counts either. So, Pat Patriot, those uniforms, will be playing for a championship on Monday, looking to cut down the nets in the Jones and Keefe March Madness uniform bracket. The other matchup, the other semifinal, pits the number 4 seed Celtics, the winner of the Hoops region, against the top-seeded Hartford Whalers, the winner of the hockey region. You
green?
Can vote right now. That is an all-green matchup. A Kelly Green and a Broccoli Green, I think, as we settled on. You can vote at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. You can see the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter. We'll get you the results of this matchup on Monday. We'll have a championship game on Monday, and then we'll announce the winner Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. What a month it's been, a wild month of March.
It's been a thrill, and so it'll be a red-green final, just like that color rush game years ago between the Jets and the Bills, where all the colorblind people were up in arms, because apparently
you couldn't see it.
Same. Yeah.
Just looked like a field.
Same thing.
A field with a few helmets running around. You're like, what's going on out here?
I am really looking forward to next year's bracket, not to get too far ahead of ourselves. I know we got to worry about, you know,
yeah, let's not count our chickens before they hatch, Keefe.
Well, maybe even if we're not on the air, we can do one. We can sort of do
it. Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter for that.
A Jones and Keefe podcast. It's a good It's a good bracket, though.
It's just us talking about the bracket.
It is. That's better than some podcasts.
It's going to be pretty good. Yeah. That's true. There are a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
Some are good, some are bad.
You need a niche.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. You need a niche. Did you watch any of the games last night? Speaking of the bracket.
Yeah, like I kind of like flipped here and there. I wasn't super committed to it. And it's funny, we were talking last week about how fun the first couple days are and everybody's super into it. And then even like it spills into Saturday and Sunday, the first two rounds. And then you have the layoff and then the games come back and
kind of like
I was like I had it on and I was like doing something else, but Alabama, I kept looking at the score. We're like, how many points do they have?
Dude, okay,
like,
so
that was wild.
So the only reason I plunked down a few bets yesterday, but nothing major.
Yeah.
The only reason I even halfway cared is because late in the show in the grab bag yesterday, you asked me I made all my picks. I'm like, okay, well, here's what I do. I got BYU on the money line. Smoked. Alabama didn't miss. I mean, they didn't miss.
Alabama scored 113 points in a college game. The running Rebels.
I actually bet that game. So that game I cared about.
Okay.
I didn't bet the Florida game at all, but I had a bit of a rooting interest because I said I thought I would take Maryland to cover the number, 6.5. They did not. I also had Arkansas on the money line, which should have hit. But
They
peed that. They were up 13 with 4 minutes to go.
Yeah.
So that one got away. And then I had Duke covering, and I believe they did not, correct?
They won by 7.
So I actually bet Arkansas. I actually bet BYU. I didn't have any money on the other games, but I had a rooting interest based on what I said.
Yeah.
And I would have gone 0-4 in the Sweet 16, which is par for the course.
Cooper Flagg had a monster game.
He did.
Talking about like local guys. And
do you think people care about Calipari? Like locally, do you think people care about Calipari and that team and we're kind of watching him, or do you think it's just too far detached?
It's pretty far detached, but I think he's such a recognizable name that I think people might have more interest in that, either rooting for or against. I would think for. Like, I don't think you have a problem with Calipari. But in a matchup of Arkansas versus Texas Tech, people in New England, I'd be like, I was rooting for Calipari.
I mean, I feel like when he was at Kentucky, people already didn't care. I mean,
I'm like you. Yeah.
I always pull for him because of those UMass teams, but I feel like most of that rooting interest is long gone with him.
Yeah, no, I think.
Or even just, you know, one way or the other, rooting for or against.
No, that ship has sailed. But Cooper Flagg, as far like he was going to be the number one pick in the draft, no matter what. Like it seems like kind of running on a post, don't you think? Like, all season long, he's been one of these guys.
Well, you,
like,
you hate the St. Not the St. John's kids, the Rutgers kids, because they didn't make the tournament.
I wanted to like both of those guys when the season started, and how do you miss the tournament if you're the second and third pick in the draft? That is a red flag to me.
Yeah.
You know, Cooper Flagg, almost like Wembanyama, has been like wire to wire the consensus number one pick, and he's lived up to it. He's been awesome all year and might even win a title. He might be in, like, we were talking about Carmelo Anthony before. He might be a one-and-done title guy.
I mean, look, as we learned yesterday from my wagering, don't listen to me when it comes to this. But I would they look like the best team in the tournament to me and the team that's going to take it down.
Yeah.
So anyway, you can vote in the Jones and Keefe bracket. That's up at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. You can see the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter again, at Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. That's your phone number to get in touch with Jones and Keefe here at Polar Park. Woo Sox opening day. We're going to talk to Marcelo Meyer. He was scheduled to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. He's been moved to 12:30. Right after batting practice here, so we'll talk to him. Oh, we got a nice little choo-choo going by there, Keith.
Oh, yeah, you get everything here.
Wow.
Train. Oh, I didn't even mention everybody. There's a marching band up here on, like, the left field deck getting ready for the game.
Yeah, it's
feels like they should come into this room and it'd be like the Severance finale. It's all marching.
What's
right
it called?
Here.
Something of merriment?
Choreography
of merriment.
Yeah, choreography.
Yeah.
C&M. Bring it down here.
Bring choreography of merriment down here. But look at the choo-choo going by.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. We're drinking it in here at Polar Park. So
I want to go down this craft corner.
Is
that open yet?
Yeah, Keith has said this 10 times in every single break. He's
looks good.
He's ready to go over there. So we'll talk to Marcelo Meyer about half an hour from now.
Bar.
At 12:30. Stay tuned for that. We'll go back to the Red Sox. Nice opening win for them. 162-0 still on the table. That's next.